from the South Point studio. The perfect blend of sports.
But I think the Niners are going to wear them down.
Detroit Pistons lost their 36 games.
Comedy.
It's the over-under on that relationship lasting. I'm going to put mayo in the coffee.
Yes. I am beautiful.
And a whole lot of Pittsburgh.
In Pittsburgh.
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 Yeah. Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh.
Join Ryan McCormick.
That's at least two picks outside of our own in the first round next year.
Oreo.
And host Frank Nicotero.
I look at the clock, I go,
Watch Punchlines live at noon every weekday.
South Point Casino is the perfect place to be. Our racebook is completely separate from the sportsbook and totally dedicated to the horse player. With 52 overhead TVs, free Wi-Fi, and cocktail service. Bring your tablet or smartphone and plug into the USB ports to look up your favorite handicapping website without draining your battery. Want to wager from your seat? No problem with our IPTs. Just sign up, make a deposit, and you're off to the races. Plus, you'll earn points for dining, hotel, movies, entertainment, and the spa just by using the club card when wagering. South Point Casino's Racebook has you covered.
Who is there for heroes or the families left behind when a service member or first responder dies or is catastrophically injured in the line of duty? Who helps our country's homeless veterans? And who helps our nation to never forget 9/11? Let me tell you who. The Tunnel to Towers Foundation. The Foundation's Gold Star, Fallen First Responder, Smart Home, and Homeless Veteran programs comprise their In the Line of Duty programs. They're all dedicated to honoring our nation's heroes and their families. The Foundation's Never Forget programs engage people in 9/11 remembrance across America. Over 80 runs, walks, and climbs a year, dozens of golf outings, and the Tunnel to Towers 9/11 Institute is educating kids in kindergarten through 12th grade to help our nation keep its vow to never forget. More than 95 cents of every dollar you donate to Tunnel to Towers goes to its programs. Never forget the sacrifices of our country's greatest heroes. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at t2t.org. That's T, the number 2, t.org.
The following is a Race Day Las Vegas presentation in association with Sirocco Productions Limited on the Race Day Las Vegas Radio Network.
Live from the gaming capital of the world, time for Race Day Las Vegas, covering the sport of kings with a Las Vegas perspective. Now, to the race desk with your host, Ralph Sirocco.
From the backstretch to the turf flow, at the racebooks and on the internet, to all horse players around the world, a good morning.
Alrighty, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Race Day Las Vegas radio program for this Friday. Yes, we're upon another big weekend of covering the racing game Las Vegas style right here from our studios, the South Point Studios and the South Point Studios Network that's streaming at YouTube right here in Las Vegas at the South Point Hotel Casino Complex on Las Vegas Boulevard. We welcome you to the show today, as well as all of the people listening to us on many different platforms that we deliver this show to you, that include our anchor radio station here in Las Vegas, Sports Talk 1400 AM and 107.1 FM, just in case you're tooling around this morning on the highway here. And of course, on our websites, racedaylasvegas.com, .vegas, .world, .global, iPhone, Android, we got that covered too. You got the KSHP app that you can listen to us, or the YouTube app that you can see and listen to us on your iPhone or Android, and of course, anywhere you get your podcasts. And we welcome you to the show today as we start off another weekend, the weekend after the Kentucky Derby, but the weekend before the Preakness Stakes. Your middle jewel of the Triple Crown will be 1 week from tomorrow. And so let's see exactly if we're going to get the Kentucky Derby winner in there or not. Right now, they say it's looking pretty good that we might get Mystic Dan to run in the Preakness Stakes, going for the second jewel of the Triple Crown. Kenny McPeak, his trainer, said, that for him to come back as well as he did, I thought it was a feat in itself. The way he got banged around in the Derby, he went good, just stretched his legs today a bit, switched leads on point, and he'll be ready for next Saturday. So at least Robbie Alvarado, who's his the former jockey Robbie Alvarado and now the exercise rider for a Mystic Dan, those were his quotes, and he thinks he's ready to go. As far as McPeak, well, McPeak just said everything is going well with him, so we're heading in the right direction. Well, let's hope the right direction is the Preakness Stakes, the second jewel of the Triple Crown. He's the only horse that has a possibility of winning the Triple Crown this year. We got to try for it, don't we? Of course, he's got to stay healthy and all that. He's eaten his feed tub well, and so Mystic Dan may very well decide by his actions, both on the track and at the feed tub, that he's ready to go to Maryland, Pimlico Racecourse in Baltimore for the second jewel of the Triple Crown. We'll wait and see about that. Certainly, the race is starting to shape up. If he goes, there'll be three horses out of the Kentucky Derby that will make their way on to the second jewel of the Triple Crown. Right now, the field is right around 10. A lot of new shooters in there. And, of course, the two big new shooters, obviously, are the Bob Baffert trainees from California, the Arkansas Derby winner, Muth, and, of course, the horse that finished second in a photo finish in the Santa Anita Derby. And, of course, that is Imagination. Both those horses will do their final workouts in Southern California before they ship to Maryland, where Bob Baffert is looking for his ninth Preakness win. Boy, he knows how to get horses ready for that middle jewel of the Triple Crown. He sure does. And of course, we know why Muth and Imagination wasn't in the Derby. He was prevented and banned from putting his horses in that race. So he's got kind of a little bit of a chip on his shoulder to try to win his ninth Preakness with those two horses. We'll wait and see. They should be the morning line favorites, close to it, when they draw the race and put the morning line on it next week. Now, what we're going to do on our race day shows, we're not going to have a special Thursday night show like we did before the Kentucky Derby. What we're going to do on our Friday morning show is go over the Black Eyed Susan's day of racing. The Black Eyed Susan's, of course, is the big feature race for the three-year-old fillies, counterpart of the Kentucky Oaks. That'll be next Friday, 1 week from today. And they have six stakes races, including the Black Eyed Susan on Friday. So 1 week from today, we'll kind of tailor our show to have our handicappers, Jonathan Hardoon and John Lendo, go over those races as they did on our Thursday night show before the Kentucky Oaks on that Thursday night. And then on Saturday, the Preakness Day, there'll be nine stakes races. So we'll do the same thing on that show. We're going to tailor it down to where we can get our handicappers to go over the nine stakes races that include, of course, the Preakness Stakes. We won't have a Thursday night special as we did for the Kentucky Derby, but we will go over in the same format for the Black Eyed Susan's Day and the Preakness. And, of course, that's 1 week from today, 1 week from tomorrow, of course. 1 week from tomorrow is the Preakness. They'll draw next week for that race. All right. Coming up, by the way, on tomorrow at Belmont at Aqueduct, they got three nice stakes races, and two of them I'm going to go over with Jonathan Hardoon in just a minute or two. But one of those races is the Peter Pan. The Peter Pan is the New York prep race for the Belmont Stakes. Okay, like the Preakness kind of is next Saturday. This is the New York prep race for the Belmont Stakes. Now, they drew for that the other day, but we have two defections already in the Peter Pan. We understand that Tuscan Gold, who was entered in that race, is going to come out of that race. He's going to scratch, and he's going to go in the Preakness next Saturday. Not tomorrow, but next Saturday. So, you know, he will scratch out of the Peter Pan. We understand also that Lonesome Boy, who has also entered for the Peter Pan, will now scratch in the Peter Pan and go in the featured turf race for the three-year-olds on the same weekend. So he's going to go on the turf, Lonesome Boy. That should pare down the field to about eight horses in the Peter Pan. We'll wait and see about that. But that, of course, is the main prep in New York for the Belmont Stakes, which will be held this year at Saratoga because they're knocking down Belmont and, building a brand-new grandstand, et cetera, there. So while they do that construction, the race, the Belmont Stakes, third jewel of the Triple Crown, will be held at Saratoga, as we found out and as we know yesterday. The Belmont Stakes will now be held at a mile and a quarter, the same distance as the Kentucky Derby, at a mile and a quarter at Saratoga because they can because Saratoga is a mile and one-eighth circumference racetrack, they don't have a position that they can do for a mile-and-a-half race that will be fair to all horses, the starting gate position, on the configuration of that racetrack. So it's only going to be a mile and a quarter, which, by the way, will be the same distance later on in the summertime at that same racetrack that the Midsummer Derby, the Travers, is. So it's going to be an interesting situation this year for the Triple Crown, and we're still waiting to see if Mystic Dan will go on and into Baltimore and try to defend and try to win the Triple Crown. So we'll wait and see about that. Real quick, we were talking about Oaklawn Park closing this weekend and Tampa Bay as well. Tampa Bay's final was over the weekend as well. But Oaklawn Park final, I'll tell you, they had a great meet at Oaklawn Park. They ran for 63 days. Their handle was up 7.1% off of a record handle last year. Both the Derby and Arkansas winners, both the Derby and Oaks winners, I should say, were raced at Oaklawn Park, if you remember. Both of those Kenny McPeak horses raced at Oaklawn Park, so they produced the Derby and Oaks winner this year in Kentucky. They campaigned at Oaklawn Park, and the handle was up at Oaklawn Park because the percentage they had there, the percentage of horses in each race were very high this year. They had almost full fields all the time at Oaklawn Park that created more action, created more betting, and thus the handle was up 7.1%. And of course, as we said before, Steve Asmussen won the training title, his 13th training title at Oaklawn, by the way, with 71 wins. And Christian Torres won his second consecutive jockey title there with 82 wins. They had the highest starters per race in the history of Oaklawn Park over the over their 63-day meet. Coming up this coming weekend on Saturday, tomorrow, the start of Monmouth Park, I should say. The start of Monmouth Park, 51-day meet, 48 stakes races highlighted by the Haskell. And we're going to go over some trends of Monmouth Park on tomorrow's show as we get you set and ready for the big racetrack at the shore, as they say, in New Jersey, that's for sure. All right, we got a lot to cover today. Jonathan Ardoon is with us, Rich Eng as well. John Lendo will be along, and Jerry Jackowitz. There is a pick six carryover today at Santa Anita. There are small fields at Santa Anita, so a lot of people are putting together manageable tickets for a good shot of hitting the pick six with over $100,000 of extra money to be divvied up today. So Santa Anita will be kind of a focal point for racing today around the country. As far as the weather is around the country, looks fine. Up and down the Pacific Coast, clear as a bell. Gulf Coast is clear. And for the most part, the East Coast is clear until you get up to where the New York City is at and, of course, where Belmont at Aqueduct is at. They say it's been raining all night at Aqueduct. So the turf races are coming off at Aqueduct. Okay, we'll wait and see the latest of the weather conditions there when we get Jonathan Ardoon later. And as far as Florida's concerned, there's only one bad portion in Florida. It's not by the racetracks, but I could tell you this, that they had tornadoes that hit the ground in Florida by Tallahassee, I believe, which is their capital of Florida. So we'll wait and see about that. But otherwise, the weather looks pretty clear around the country, except for a little pocket over the northeast where Aqueduct Racetrack happens to be. So in any case, we got our boys standing by, and so we'll go to our first break. As far as the weather here is concerned in Las Vegas, hey, we got 63 degrees out there right now. It's going to get up to 78. And tomorrow we're going to get up to 85, and by Sunday we'll be 91 degrees here in Las Vegas. Clear, a little bit breezy out, but just nice weather here in Las Vegas in case you're planning on doing a little weekend trip up here in your gaming capital. We will return Don't go away.
South Point Casino is the perfect place to be. Our racebook is completely separate from the sportsbook and totally dedicated to the horse player. With 52 overhead TVs, free Wi-Fi, and cocktail service. Bring your tablet or smartphone and plug into the USB ports to look up your favorite handicapping website without draining your battery. Want to wager from your seat? No problem with our IPTs. Just sign up, make a deposit, and you're off to the races. Plus, you'll earn points for dining, hotel, movies, entertainment, and the spa just by using the club card when wagering. South Point Casino's Racebook has you covered.
All righty, back on Race Day Las Vegas. Taking a look at what happened yesterday at Pimlico, because after all, we'll be really concentrating our attention there next week for the big two racing days at the end of next week. But Pimlico opened, Old Hilltop opened yesterday. They were off the turf. But all I can tell you there at Pimlico, the highest priced winner of the day over the eight race opening day card paid $15.80, and that was the winner of the last race at Pimlico. So the players. We're figuring out how the track bias and everything else was handling there at Pimlico. As far as Belmont at Aqueduct yesterday, Jerry Jackowitz came with a winner for us in the fifth race in Pentagon, paying $6.70. One of his link-ups ran second. So the dollar exacta paid $10.60 there. And for the most part, there was really no long shots at Aqueduct. As a matter of fact, the highest priced winner there on the day paid $11.80. So it was pretty well going there at Belmont at Aqueduct yesterday. Flavian Pratt was the only jock that had more than one winner. He had two wins on the card at Aqueduct. And as far as Churchill Downs, of their eight race card, favorites were also winning a lot there. The highest priced winner at Churchill Downs over their eight races yesterday was the first race winner, paying $13.60. Trainer Mike Maker had a three bagger yesterday at Churchill. And all I can say is Jonathan Hardoon's play that he gave us in the fifth race at nice 4-1 odds was in the right spot at the right time. He just got outran by a horse that was a little bit better in that race, but I would put that horse Acidin down as a horse to look forward to in his next start. That was the winner. Tiger's Legacy was the one that Jonathan gave us, and I would put that down as a horses to watch too. Luis Saez also had three wins on the card yesterday at Churchill. All right, time to get started with the racing menu of racetracks available today in the Racebook, simulcast centers, and racetracks around the country. As you know, we always tell you that the first post times we broadcast on this show each and every day reflect out of the Pacific time zone because we're here. Race Day Las Vegas emanates from Las Vegas, Nevada, right here at the South Point studios. And, of course, we're in the Pacific time zone. So if you're listening here, going to go to the book here behind me. These will be the first post times rolling out in the book. If not, if you're listening on the many different platforms they have around the world, we know you're in different time zones. So adjust to the Pacific time zone, to whatever one you're in, so you don't miss anything like I miss Mom and Dad. That's the deal. First post times Pacific. We begin our racing menu today with Belterra Park. Belterra Park has a stakes race, the seventh race on the card, the $75,000 Tall Stacks Stakes at 6.5 furlongs for three-year-olds. A field of seven there. And a first post time at Belterra Park of 9:15. 9:15 at Belterra Park today. Then we go to Pimlico Racecourse, day two of Old Hilltop. First post at 9:25 for their nine race card at Pimlico. They have a small carryover in their super high five of $1,302. That at Pimlico today, first post time 9:25. Then we have Churchill Downs, nine races at Churchill Downs in Louisville, Kentucky. Super high five carryover there, $4,349. A pick six jackpot carryover of $4,353, and a first post time at Churchill Downs for nine races set at 9:45. Belmont at Aqueduct today. Well, I already told you it's been raining all night there, so right now it's light rain right now, 50 degrees, but the damage has already been done. They're off the turf course today, which means races 4, 6, and 9 will be transferred to the main track. The main track will start out as muddy today at Aqueduct, Belmont at Aqueduct. And as far as the turf races rescheduled, fourth race was a mile and 16th on the turf. Now it's at one flat mile on the main track. Sixth race was 6 furlongs on the turf, stays 6 furlongs on the main track. And the ninth race was a mile and 16th on the outer turf course. That will now be transferred to the main track at 1 mile. Those are the distances and the changes for the races coming off the turf today at Belmont at Aqueduct. First post time for their 9-race card is set at 10:05. Then we have Gulfstream Park. Gulfstream Park is next. Gulfstream Park's Rainbow Pick 6 Jackpot Carryover, $10,285. First post time for 8 races, 10:10. Woodbine, north of the border, they're cranking it underway there at Woodbine Racecourse. They got a Pick 6 Jackpot Carryover, $15,030. They have a also have a Pick 6 Jackpot Carryover of $20,674. 8 races of Woodbine, first post time, 10:10. Then we get to Santa Anita in Southern California. Santa Anita, as we said, carryover $104,581 in the Pick 6 carryover today at Santa Anita. Now, they only have 8 races, so the Pick 6 will start in the third race. And all I can tell you is there's no race on the entire 8-race card today at Santa Anita that has more than 7 entries in the race. Short fields today at Santa Anita with a carryover in that Pick 6. First post time at Santa Anita today for the Hollywood meet is at 1 o'clock this afternoon, 1 o'clock. Golden Gate is next. Golden Gate has 7 races, and their first post time at Golden Gate today is set at 1:45 at Golden Gate. Then we go to Penn National. Penn National has 7 races, and their first post time at Penn National is set at 2:45. Evangeline Downs has 9 races. Their first post time is 3:30 at Evangeline. And then next we go to Charlestown. I should say Prairie Meadows. I'm sorry. Prairie Meadows has a 4 p.m. first post time for 8 races. And then we'll wrap it up with Charlestown, which is the same first post at 4 p.m., 4 p.m. at Charlestown. Their Pick 6 Jackpot carryover, $9,554. And that is your racing menu for today. All right, let's go to Jonathan Ardoon standing by. Jonathan, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph. Breaking news while you were giving out your rundown of the tracks. No fine and no days for Tyler Gaffleone. The ruling came out. He's clean.
Now, I know
clear, I should say.
You and I discussed this before the show. I searched all of the racing websites. I went to the Churchill Downs website. I went out and contacted several people that I know, including yourself. And up to about, up to about the start of the show this morning, nobody knew this. It was like hermetically sealed somewhere. And
it's like the nuclear codes, Ralph. It was the nuclear codes. They weren't letting it.
They made all the publicity about, we're going to get Tyler Gaffleone in on Thursday to review the videotapes. And then no word all day yesterday of what the heck happened. And I'm glad that you got it. I saw one tweet that was incorrect, and that's why we didn't go with it, because when you're looking at the X tweets there, want to make sure that you double check with another source before you go out, because some things on those tweets aren't right, and it wasn't, because that tweet said he got a 3-day suspension, but that was incorrect. Right now, you have the official word, right?
Official word from a jock agent that's privy to what's going on. No days, no fine.
Well, I'm glad to see that, because it's bad enough. We went over this several times. I'm not going to rehash this, but it would be pretty bad if they didn't put the inquiry sign up and they didn't disqualify the horse. If then 1 week later they give the jockey days. That's why I was kind of perplexed at the tweet that I saw, but I'm sure glad this is right. So no days, no fine, nothing. It's just that's racing, right?
It's a hell of a thing if you give guys a days without even claiming a foul. If you claim the foul and then you want to give them days, fine. But not even to claim a foul and give them days, that wouldn't be right.
Well, not so much claiming a foul as putting the inquiry sign up.
Yeah, well, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
By the stewards that's not post-dropping a flag, you know, that's what I meant.
Yeah, certainly. All right, so the Peter Pan's coming up this weekend. It's the traditional New York prep race for the Belmont Stakes. And the Peter Pan had, I said, 8 horses. It was originally 8, but we got 2 scratches in that race. They were posts 4 and 5. Number 5, Tuscan Gold, who was the favorite on the morning line in that race, will now go to the Preakness Stakes. He was always intended on going to Preakness. They entered him in this race, but he's going to be scratched and go into the Preakness. And so is Chad Brown decided to go ahead and bring him to the Preakness. And then Lonesome Boy, which was a long shot at outsider at 20-1 in the morning line, they decided to put him in the turf race, right?
They're running in the turf at Monmouth in the Long Branch. I think it's either tomorrow or Saturday, and he will run on the grass, correct.
Tomorrow is Saturday.
Yeah, I said Saturday or Sunday in the Long Branch.
Okay, it's in the Long Branch Stakes anyhow. So in any case, now we got a 6-pack going into the Peter Pan, and with Tuscan Gold out of there, it looks like maybe Deterministic might be the consolation favorite in the race.
Or the wine steward, Mike Maker sends out this horse. He has 5 career starts, 3 wins, 2 seconds, and he's won around 2 turns. The problem with Deterministic is whether he can handle the distance. You know, his last race was 1 1/8 at Aqueduct. He didn't run a step, but he was coming off of a big effort 2 starts back, so maybe he reacted off of that. You know, Deterministic is listed at 5-1. I don't believe he'll be anywhere near that price. I think he may be co-favorite with the wine steward, but let's see. It's only a 6-horse field. No real opportunity to make much money there.
Let's see. Deterministic is a bloodline as Liam's Map by a Julio's Jewel mare. And so Julio's Jewel is the mare. Julio's Jewel is the mare. And so Liam's Map, yeah, that might be a little bit of a restriction as far as distance. And the Peter Pan, I want to remind everybody, is 1 1/8.
Yeah, and it's usually run at Belmont where that's 1 turn.
Yeah.
So 1 1/8 at Belmont, totally different game than 1 1/8 at Aqueduct. And by the way, Ralph, we were talking about yesterday how people were upset that they weren't running the Belmont at Aqueduct, but of course we have terrific listeners on this show, and I got a bunch of emails correcting me saying the reason being is that Aqueduct is not able to really handle more than about 5,000 people anymore since they added the casino.
Really?
So they just don't have enough room. That's why they were forced to ship up to Saratoga.
Do you have any idea how long that casino's been there?
It's been there a while.
At least 10 years, right?
A while.
Maybe?
I would say close to it.
All right. So in other words, when they built that casino and pared down the capacity of Aqueduct,
they took away the entire grandstand from Aqueduct. They used to have a clubhouse and a grandstand. They took away the entire grandstand and turned it into a casino.
Mm-hmm.
So that right away limited it. And now I think all they have left really at Belmont is the ground floor of the clubhouse, and they have a restaurant upstairs.
But you're talking about now.
That's all it is.
You're talking about Aqueduct now, not Belmont, right? Aqueduct.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, okay.
I'm sorry. At Belmont, there's nothing there.
Belmont is rubble right now. But like the Great Phoenix is going
to rise.
Yeah, like the Great Phoenix is going to rise again and be a great racing facility. But what I'm thinking is that back that far back, when they decided to build a casino there and take away the capacity of Aqueduct, they were just giving you a heads up that sooner or later Aqueduct's going to become rubble too, right? The racetrack.
Unfortunately, when they finished when they finished the renovation of Belmont, I would assume that's the end of Aqueduct.
I mean, that looks like it, right?
Turn the whole thing into a casino or sell the parking lot anyway to the airport. You know, it's right across the street from JFK. So they have a lot of options, and it's a lot of property. So no more racetrack.
I'm thinking that part of that's going to be an extendant of JFK, and the other maybe an extension of the casino. But you would have to think that when they did that at Aqueduct that many years ago, they were just kind of telling you, you know, time's ticking for racing at Aqueduct anymore. But if they do what they're doing at Belmont and the renditions I saw of Belmont, it's going to be one hell of a place. And it's going to be a multi-complex because they already have the hockey arena there, and they're going to build like restaurants, maybe a hotel and a little village and all that good
stuff.
There's
a hotel being built, I think. Yeah, there's being a hotel being built as we speak in one of the parking lots. I mean, that's just a huge piece of property, you know. Yeah. The racetrack's going to look like the smallest part of it, unfortunately.
Well, and but it doesn't matter because the racetrack is still a mile and a half in circumference, so we're okay with that, that's for sure. But while we wait for the transition there, as we did in Southern California when they knocked down Hollywood Park, and in Northern California now with Bay Meadows and Golden Gate going, there is a change in racing, that's for sure. It's consolidating now with the technology of phone betting, phone apps, and all the other good stuff, and horse racing networks. So we have to, you know, meet the change if we want to stay competitive.
Well, they're downsizing all these big plants. I mean, what's the point to have a racetrack that holds 150,000 people when you get 4,000 people there? It just doesn't make sense. Yeah. So.
I mean, on the big days, you use the corporate tents and all that like they do with Breeders' Cup and with obviously with the Kentucky Derby. If you watch some of the races yesterday, you can still see some of the tents that are in the way, and certainly you can see that at Pimlico. They're already starting to erect the tents there and all that stuff there. Yeah. So we'll have to change with the times, but let's see. I'm expecting some really good fields for those stakes races over at Pimlico next week. I mean, between the 2 days, the Black Eyed Susan's Day and the Preakness card itself, there'll be 15 stakes races overall that include those two and 13 others. So we're going to have a good time next week charting and figuring out Pimlico Racecourse, that's for sure. Anything at Pimlico that you saw, or did you see any of the races yesterday at Pimlico?
I didn't watch a single race, Ralph. I was busy working and playing other trucks.
I see. I understand.
I'll get there eventually.
But, you know, the betting public figured it out on opening day. It was a lot of as a matter of fact, at Aqueduct and at Pimlico, it kind of was close to the vest as far as the payoffs there. But we're looking for some payoffs today. And so we will count on you to give us some horses for today. Where are we going?
Let's go to Belmont at Aqueduct and look at race number 6. This is 6 furlongs originally scheduled for the turf, which will now be run on the main track. It was a full field of 12, so I'm sure there'll be a lot of late scratches because the race came off. But I think, you know, the field, for the most part, will stay intact since they have a bunch of MTOs entered. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I like the number 4 horse in here, Wake Surf. This is a 5-year-old gelding from the Richard Dutrow barn. Dutrow took over the training 3 starts back, and all 3 of his starts for Dutrow good enough to get the job done here. Rider switched to Irad Ortiz. 6-1 on the morning line. That was for turf. I would
ding,
expect
ding,
a little
ding, 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 ding.
Late scratch?
Yep, scratched. I'll give you the scratches in that 6th race, and there are a lot of them. Number 1, Sane B. Number 2, Midday Image. Number 2, B, Stage Left. The 4 horse, Wake Surf. The 5, Son of a Birch. The 8, Ikigal. And the 9, Clear the Air. 1, 2, 2B, 4, 5, 8, and 9 are out of the 6th race, and we have several scratches, of course, in the 4th race as well. I'll give them, while you take a look at maybe another audible there, in the 4th race, which is another race that was scheduled for the turf. Remember, there were only 10 horses in this race, but here are the scratches. Numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 7, and 8. 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 7, 8. So we have a 3-horse field left in the in that race. Well, 1, 2.
Wonderful.
Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 7, 8. So you got a 3-horse field in the 4th race. And as I said, you've got 7 horses that were scratched in the 6th race, 2 of them representing 1 betting number. The 2 and 2B are out. So they are decimated. And I'm sure that the 9th race. And I will give you the 9th race as well. The 9th race is decimated as well. In the 9th race, which is off the turf now, scratch numbers 1, 2, 5, 6, 7, 8, 12, and 14. So you got all of those horses out of the 9th race. Again, 1, 2, 5, 6, 7, 8, 12, and 14 are out of the 9th. So long story short, The turf races today at Aqueduct have been decimated with late scratches.
Decimated.
Do you have anything else there?
Yeah, we're going to go to pull an audible here and look at Churchill Downs race number 9.
Oh, okay.
Seven furlongs on the main track. And I like the number 10 horse in here, Tilted Towers. Adam Rice sends out this 8-year-old gelding. Actually claimed last time out, draws a good outside box, gets the services of Jose Ortiz, 4-1 on the morning line, number 10, Tilted Towers, wins today's 9th and final out at Churchill Downs.
All right, and on the spot, audible from Jonathan Ardoon, we go to Churchill Downs for pick number 1, 9th and final at Churchill, number 10, Tilted Towers, number 10, Tilted Towers in the 9th at Churchill. Let's hope he's not scratched. We don't have those scratches yet, obviously. I imagine.
There are two late.
Okay, go ahead.
There are two late scratches there, Ralph. The 1 is out, Allman, and the 8 is out, Court Snort.
Okay.
1 and 8 out of the 9th and final.
But your horse is in. Number 10, Tilted Towers, is in. 9th race, number 10 at Churchill. I would imagine the other one is at Santa Anita.
Yes, we're going to look at the 4th race, part of the pick 6, and this is one of the 7 horse fields they have, and I like a price horse in here, number 5, Blonde Bombshell, 6-1 on the morning line. Debbie Winnick sends out this 5-year-old mare who's had success on the turf. She cuts back in distance today to 6 furlongs. Kyle Frey remains aboard. He rode her in her last couple of races, and she has a win and a second. Again, she's listed at 6-1 on the morning line, number 5. Blonde Bombshell wins today's 4th race out at Santa Anita.
I will leave the name alone in the 4th race, number 5, Blonde Bombshell, the 5. By the way, Kyle Frey is having one hell of a start of this Hollywood meet there at Santa Anita. Of course, a lot of the other jockeys have moved on to some of the race meets on the East Coast now that the weather is getting better. But he's starting off in good shape there at Santa Anita. We'll get the latest in the jock and trainer standings from John Lindo a bit later on. But in the 4th race, you like number 5, Blonde Bombshell, the 5 in the 4th race. And as Jonathan has displayed to you, he not only has a full sheet for Santa Anita and Aqueduct, but he also has one for Churchill Downs, do you not?
Correct. The website, JONHARDOON.com.
All right. And maybe tomorrow we'll take a look at the Man of War. We'll take a look at those 3 stakes races tomorrow at Aqueduct for sure.
We always do.
All right.
Thank you, Ralphie.
Thanks.
Stay safe and be well.
Thanks a lot, Jonathan. All right. We are now going to take our break. And when we come back, we got Rich Eng standing by, so don't go away. Hey, Richie's left. We got John Lendo. We got Jerry Jack. We have plenty left. Don't go away.
Who is there for heroes or the families left behind when a service member or first responder dies or is catastrophically injured in the line of duty? Who helps our country's homeless veterans? And who helps our nation to never forget 9/11? Let me tell you who. The Tunnel to Towers Foundation. The Foundation's Gold Star, Fallen First Responder, Smart Home, and Homeless Veteran programs comprise their In the Line of Duty programs. They're all dedicated to honoring our nation's heroes and their families. The Foundation's Never Forget programs engage people in 9/11 remembrance across America. Over 80... runs, walks, and climbs a year. Dozens of golf outings. Vow to never forget. More than 95 cents of every dollar you donate to Tunnel to Towers goes to its programs. Never forget the sacrifices of our country's greatest heroes. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at t2t.org. That's T, the number 2, t.org.
South Point Casino is the perfect place to be. Our racebook is completely separate from the sportsbook and totally dedicated to the horse player. With 52 overhead TVs, free Wi-Fi, and cocktail service. Bring your tablet or smartphone and plug into the USB port to look up your favorite handicapping website without draining your battery. Want to wager from your seat? No problem with our IPTs. Just sign up, make a deposit, and you're off to the races. Plus, you'll earn points for dining, hotel, movies, entertainment, and the spa just by using the club card when wagering. South Point Casino's Racebook has you covered. We'll be right back.
Right back on Race Day Las Vegas. Time to go to Rich Eng standing by. And Richie, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Ralphie. Good morning, listeners and viewers.
All right. Now, I do want to ask you this because you represent the racing form here in Las Vegas. There are going to be no special advances for the Preakness card, right, on the daily racing form?
No, there will not be. If I'm not mistaken, maybe John or Jerry know better, but I think the Preakness is being drawn on Monday. And if that's the case, it will not be an advance for the Preakness day card.
Okay. Good enough. We just wanted to make sure that if you had a special one, that we make sure we tell people about it. But I got to tell you, the Kentucky Derby advance, though, that was really a great idea. I hope they continue with that.
Oh, yeah, I'm pretty sure it will, because with the cards for the Oaks and the Derby being drawn on Saturday, it allowed our editorial people, our technical people to pull everything together and go to press on Monday. So if you can get the Saturday 14 races on Tuesday morning, that gives you a big edge, the extra time to handicap. And those are juicy races, too, with big fields. It was a big success. Win, win, win.
Yeah, all the way around, that's for sure. And, of course, we are keeping our fingers crossed that Kenny McPeak will give Mystic Dan a chance to be a Triple Crown winner. He's the only one that has a shot at the Triple Crown, but Mystic Dan is going to tell him, and I know McPeak will not be swayed by all the pressure or the questions of people saying, why don't you try it, why don't you try it? He's going to let his horse tell him, I know that.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Kenny's very pragmatic, and he'll make the best decision for his horse, and not for the history of the Triple Crown, because as I've said earlier this week, long season, he's got a lot to think about whether he wants to go to Baltimore or not.
Absolutely, no question about that. Richie, I know that we are concentrating more now on the races because we get into the summertime, and there is in summertime, there's more racetracks run across the country than any other time in the year, and of course, it's starting to beef up now, you know, with the Northern California Fairs and all the other stuff going on. But and I know that you're covering Santa Anita in Southern California. We got Del Mar. We can see Del Mar in the future there, which is always a great meet. But at the same time, you know, we wrapped up the March Madness and the football season, but we are in the midst of the NBA playoffs and championship there. And, of course, baseball cranks on. And, of course, hockey, we're going for the Stanley Cup, although the defending champions are Las Vegas team. You know, they are no longer there, but still we hope that they'll get there next year. Are you doing any handicapping for those leagues?
Well, I started the NBA playoffs with four teams, Ralph, that made the playoffs. In the East, I had Philadelphia and Cleveland. And in the West, I had Oklahoma City and Minnesota. So Philadelphia's done. They're out. The other three are still playing. And Cleveland had a huge upset against the Celtics last night. Mm-hmm. The Minnesota's 2-0, won both games at Denver. So they're in the driver's seat right now. They play game three tonight. And Oklahoma City lost last night against Dallas. They're 1-1. So I'm still live with three teams out of the final eight.
All right. Well, if you have a thought or two about any of the those sports bets along the way, you can give them to us as well. But for now, we're going to go to Santa Anita and get a pick from you at Santa Anita.
Well, let's go to race number two, Ralph. I'm just going to take a kind of a common sense angle on this 4.5 furlong, 2-year-old baby race, and the fact that the number three, So There She Wins, 5-1 in the morning line. But the thing I noticed about the PPs is Doug O'Neill bought this horse at the Ocala 2-year-olds in training sale down in Florida for $100,000, which tells me this horse showed him something in those brief workouts that they do. Usually they do like 2-furlong works. Yeah. So this horse must have been very quick down in Florida. So let's take a shot at number three. So There She Was, at 5-1 in race two at Santa Anita.
All right. Based on Doug O'Neill's look at the 2-year-old, you like in the second race, number three. So There She Was, the three in the second race. Rich Eng's selection at Santa Anita for us on a day with that big pick six carryover. And, of course, you can get Richie's full sheet of handicapping at Santa Anita right now at the RaceDayLasVegas.com websites. Thanks a lot, Rich. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Hey, thanks, Al. Good luck, everybody.
All right, we wrap it up with John and Jerry. That's our closing act on this show for this Friday, so don't go away. We will return.
From the South Point Studio, the perfect blend of sports.
But I think the Niners are going to wear them down. Detroit Pistons lost their 36 games.
Comedy.
See over-under on that relationship lasting. I'm going to put mayo in the coffee.
Yeah. I am beautiful.
And a whole lot of Pittsburgh.
In Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh.
Join Ryan McCormick.
That's at least two picks outside of our own in the first round next year.
Oreo.
And host Frank Nicotero.
I look at the clock. I go, ah! Ah!
Oh! Watch Punchlines live at noon every weekday.
South Point Casino is the perfect place to be. Our racebook is completely separate from the sportsbook and totally dedicated to the horse player. With 52 overhead TVs, free Wi-Fi, and cocktail service. Bring your tablet or smartphone and plug into the USB ports to look up your favorite handicapping website without draining your battery. Want to wager from your seat? No problem with our IPTs. Just sign up, make a deposit, and you're off to the races. Plus, you'll earn points for dining, hotel, movies, entertainment, and the spa just by using the club card when wagering. South Point Casino's Racebook has you covered.
The Race Day Las Vegas Show, the only exclusive daily local media racing information source in Las Vegas.
All right, back on Race Day Las Vegas, wrapping it up for this Friday. Reminding you, they've got a big Saturday and Sunday coming up over the weekend for horse racing as we wait for the middle jewel of the Triple Crown 1 week from tomorrow with the Preakness Stakes. In the meantime, we go to John Lindo standing by in Southern California. And, John, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph. How you doing?
You're doing fine, my man. We got a carryover in the pick six at Santa Anita today. And, you know, with all the recapping of the Derby and all that stuff, over the last weekend, Santa Anita, the pick five there on Sunday paid $100,542. So it kind of went without saying that you had a carryover in the pick six. The pick six itself paid $4,980 for five. So it was kind of a day with a few key upsets at Santa Anita on Sunday. And now we go into today making this an instant horse player holiday. Whenever you get a carryover over $100,000 during the week, I call it an instant horse player holiday, and that is what it is today at Santa Anita. $104,581 sitting piled up in the pick six already in the pool. And, of course, today with the short fields, I'm sure that there will be quite a few tickets having it. But with that carryover added into it, it's going to add the money to it. So it's a good play for today. And before we get started, real quick, jockey trainer standings at Santa Anita. This is the Hollywood meet. And might be some surprises.
Well, a lot of the guys have been out for Derby week and whatnot. So going into the new week here, Kyle Frazier, leading jockey at Santa Anita. He's got 10 wins. Umberto Rispoli, Hector Barrios, they're tied for second. They've got 8. And as far as the trainers go, a couple new faces. You have Mark Glatz still having a good meet. He's got 8 winners. He leads. Labrato Baraccio tied with Phil D'Amato for second with 5. So a couple new names in there, and we'll get back on a regular schedule now that not as much traveling for some of these guys.
And, of course, my favorite stat, and it is right now because you have already sent me the favorites.
It's nice to see some prices at Santa Anita. It was kind of a long winter of chalk, and right now for this meet, favorites winning at just 26.4% for this meet.
You got to tell the story about the coast-to-coast pick five between Santa Anita and Gulfstream Park that happened on Sunday. The payoff, ladies and gentlemen, was $110,643. But that's not the story. The story is, John?
Well, there was one winning ticket, like I say, $110,643. The winning ticket, it cost just $1. Somebody played it for $1, and they took down the entire pool.
And it is a $1 base bet, which means they had to pick the winners in all of those five races, one horse each in all of the five races. That is either a lot of luck or a lot of handicap, or maybe both. Wow.
That's unbelievable. Congratulations to that one winning ticket. And That's an accomplishment. That's something I'd like to say sometime along our careers here.
Yeah, I wouldn't even mind if I went 2x2, as long as I hit something for that. That'd be fine for me. That's for sure. All right. Well, John, your Lindo report, real important today. It's here exclusively at the South Point Racebook. You can only get it here, complimentary, free of charge, in Las Vegas. One place just here in the South Point Racebook today, of course, featuring the handicapping for Santa Anita, a suggested late pick 4, but we want the whole, the entire Lindo report to kind of put together a nice pick 6 ticket for today at Santa Anita, that's for sure. And John, where are we going with the pick today?
Let's go to race number 6. In the 6th race today, number 3, Yellow Sundress, came off a layoff with a very short work tab, but she beat Maidens off that layoff at the end of April. She comes back quick, which is a good sign. She should be a much tighter filly after that race in the short work tab, and she's got some upside. She's shown ability in both starts. Mm-hmm. They protect her from being claimed in the starter allowance today. 3-1 on the morning line. I think a filly that's going to start going up the ladder, number 3, Yellow Sundress, race number 6, Santa Anita.
All right, a pivotal race in all of the race over race pools, that's for sure, in the 6th race, the 3, Yellow Sundress. John Lindo's pick for the race day listeners, 6th race, Santa Anita. Get that Lindo report and get involved today at Santa Anita with that pick 6 carryover, that's for sure. And John, I would imagine that that would probably be a suggested singleton for you in the pick 6, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. I'm going to single that horse and work around it. And I don't think it's going to take a deep ticket to try and cash just pick 6 today.
All right. You got it. Thanks a lot, John. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay. Good luck today.
All right. You got it. Now let's go out to Jerry Jackowitz standing by. He's got a power page today for Santa Anita as well as Aqueduct. And with all those scratches and mud at Aqueduct today, I think maybe we'll concentrate on Santa Anita and the Jerry J's power page. But Jerry, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph. I didn't get the scratches yet. I'm a little late this morning.
That's okay. I've got them, so we'll be okay. We'll go right to Aqueduct.
But the Aqueduct card is terrific. I don't know how it's going to pan out after all the scratches, but, you know, you have your M's, the mudders.
Yes.
Figure out which horses like the mud, which horses potentially like the mud. P horses, very often at big prices. And, you know, good form horses, they run their numbers, so... Anyway, I just want to quickly say about John's play. Happens to be a star horse on my power page.
Yeah, there'll be a lot of people singling that horse at Santa Anita.
But I have another star horse in that race as well.
So okay. Ooh, what a tease. All right, go ahead, my man.
Let's go to the 5th at Aqueduct today. Final Denial from Christophe Clement, second time starter, 3-year-old gelding. Actually ran pretty well his first time out, going 7 furlongs. They're turning him back to 6. Sort of tells me they think he's actually sharper than what we see. We get Joel Rosario up. 7-2 seems very reasonable. I think it's really just a win bet here on Final Denial. But if you want some exactas, a little extra, you might play the 6 over the 1-2-3 and small reverses. I'm really all about the win bet on Final Denial in race number 5.
All right, 5th race is the anchor in the early pick 5 and early pick 4 at Aqueduct. Jerry gives us what he believes to be a single in the 5th race, the 6th Final Denial, number 6 in the 5th race. And if you want to do exactas, 1-2-3 would be the play there with the 6 and, of course, reverse. What about Santa Anita?
Okay, I'm going to go to the 4th race, Ralph. Number 2, Dendera. For Leonard Powell, puts up Jeremy Laprida. So the 4-1 probably is going to stick for us. This horse looks a little better. This mare looks a little better than these and should be in really good shape. This is the 3rd race off a new form cycle. So these are all good moves. And I think if we get anything like 4-1, we're really beating it. I'll take the 2 over the 3-4-7, reverse 3-4-7 over the 2. But the 2, Dendera, in race number 4, Santa Anita, that's our pop-out key and feature play.
All right, and we have a Sirocco play there. Jonathan Ardoon came a little bit earlier with a horse, but your play in the 4th race, Santa Anita, is the 2 over 3-4-7 and reverse. Jonathan comes up with the 5, Blonde Bombshell, so we'll probably stick that in as well. But the Sirocco play is
I'll add it in.
There you go.
You know how I do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Sharing ideas.
It's now part of my play.
So the now you got the 2 over 3-4-5-7. And, of course, Jonathan's gives us with you a Sirocco play. And that's the box of the 2552 in the fourth at Santa Anita. All right, big pick six carryover. Horse player holiday today. Get out there and enjoy that pick six and all the racing today as we move into the weekend. And hopefully we'll get some winners out of you guys today. In the meantime, one more thing to say before we rejoin you on Saturday morning, and that is, Jerry?
Have a great race day!